A few weeks ago, we started the third parak of Maseches Megillah, and we learned the Mishnah that when you read the Megillah, we recite a bracha, but the recital of the bracha depends on the minhag hamakom. So the Gemara had a comment that we learned last week on Rabbaye, on Chaf Aleph on the base. That line in the Mishnah, that the bracha depends on the minhag hamakom, that's only regarding the bracha shalach rea. But Rabbi Shibbein of Adonis, the name of Hanoik and the stigma saying about the bracha shalach rea, bracha that they say before Mirka Megillah, that does not depend on minhag hamakom. That's halacha, kolam mitzvahs kulam, whether it's a mitzvah, the rice, a mitzvah, the rabbanon, kolam mitzvahs kulam, a baruch aleim, oi vel osi osi. That's oi vel osi osi. That depends on the minhag hamakom. And the Pashto says that all the brachas were composed by the Anshek Nesak Doilo. That's the Gemara in brachas, in different places in the Gila. Anshek Nesak Doilo consisted of over 100 Bani Chachamim, but in common Nevim, and amongst them were several Nevim. And they composed, they have to have a Korach Ruah. That's what Chaim Balozhin writes, and after Chaim, you have to have a Ruach HaKoyush, Korach and Ruah, to know how to compose a bracha. So they composed all the brachas, even on mitzvahs, the Rabbanon. That's what Gemara discusses in Masechus Shabbos and the Sugya about the Madlikin. When you light Neres Chanukah, you say, bracha, shikudishanu b'mitzvah, so b'tzivanu, la'adik ner Chanukah. The Gemara says, v'echan tzivanu. What do you mean? Chanukah is only with the Rabbanon. How can you say, Hashem alakeinu kidshanu b'tzivanu? The Gemara says, yeah. That when Mechuyev, the Rabbanon Shalom told us, we have to follow the mitzvahs, the Rabbanon. We can say, honestly, kidshanu b'tzivanu, on Mikra Megillah and La'adik Ner Shal Chanukah, even on Mitzvah the Rabbanon. So the Gemara says that what bracha do you say before you read the Megillah that does not depend on Minhag HaMakom? The Gemara says three brachas. The Rosh Yeshiva says Monach, Mem Nun Ches. First he said Asher Kedushan Tazon on Mikra Megillah. Then he say Shos Nisim La'Vaseinu. That's the Nun Monach Mem Nun Ches. Nun stands for Nisim, and the Samach stands for
Shehechiyanu.
The Ches. The Ches stands for Shehechiyanu. Yeah. Why do you say Shehechiyanu? We don't say Shehechiyanu when we put on tefillin, because we just put on tefillin yesterday, the day before, the day before. So I'm not so excited about tefillin. Mikram Megillah, we haven't read the Megillah since last year. So we're excited. It's a mitzvah, bar mizman, mizman, so you say Shehechiyanu. Shaila is, that's the Mikra Megillah Balayla. What about Mikra Megillah in the morning? You just read the Megillah last night. So does it make sense that you say again Shechion in the morning? So that's a machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. So the Rambam says no. Rambam says, you only say Shechionu, the third bracha, you only say Shechionu Balayla. But in the morning, you only say on Mikra Megillah and Shos HaNisim, but you don't say Shechionu because you're not so excited. You just read the Megillah last night. And Tosfos in the first perek disagrees with the Rambam. Tosfos and Dalal Amar Aleph Dima Maschot Psak. Tosfos gives you like a kitzur shulchan aruch. They give you all the halachas. So they say even though we read the Megillah, Balayla, you still repeat Shachyana in the morning, because the Ikar Mikra Megillah. The Ikar Mikra Megillah is really in the morning, and the Kriya Balayla is not as important as that in the morning. So the morning, Purim morning, we haven't had such a full Mikra Megillah since last year. Last night, the Kriya Mikra Megillah wasn't Lagamre. It was an incomplete Mikra Megillah. What's incomplete? What's his? So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over from Rav Shlomo Levilna that it could well be the Mishnahs only talk about Mikra and Megillah Bayom. The Amoraim say, I'm Dalad Amanalef, B'chayi Barim Likas HaMegillah Balayla L'Shanos Bayom. That's the Amoraim. So Shlomo Levilna has a suggestion. It's against the Rishonim. Rishonim assume otherwise. Shlomo Levilna suggests Bizman HaTanoim there was in the days of the Amoraim. So Mikra and Megillah Bayom is Medivre Kabbalah. That's what the Rebbe Kivega and Shulchan Aruch quotes the Turi Yevin. Turi Yevin is a sefer written by the Shagas Aryeh, Maseches Megillah, Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So the Tori Evin says like that, that Mikra Megillah is Dibre Kabbalah, there are Dinam Daraisa, Dinam Darabanan, and then there are Dinam Darabanan that are sort of in between, more important than a Stam Din Darabanan, it has the approval of the Bezen Shalmailam. If you have a Din Darabanan that's incorporated in Kisri HaKadosh, it's recorded in Vei Maksubim, Yisum Vei Maksubim, were written Baruch HaKadosh. So if it says in the Megillah, so it says that to make the Sudas Purim, Shalach Manas Matanas Lav Yainim, that's called a Chiyuv Midibre Kabbalah. It's a mitzvah midirabanan that has the approval of the Bezun Shalmailo, and it's written in Tanakh, written in Megillah Esther, that you have to have these mitzvahs. Where does it say in Megillah Esther you have to read the Megillah? Where does it say that? So that doesn't say explicitly the Gemara on that base. And Megillah says the marker is the pasuk says Hayamim Ha'elah Nizkarim V'Na'asim. These days are Nizkarim. What does it mean Nizkarim? So we usually say the days are remembered. So the Gemara doesn't understand like that. The Gemara understands just like it says Zochar Siyam Shabbos L'Katshay. It doesn't mean remember the day of Shabbos to keep it holy. That's how they translate it in some of the English Bibles. But rather, the Gemara understands Zohar Samash Habis Lakatcha means mention, the recite Kiddush in order to sanctify the day. Even though Shabbos is Kvir, the Kaima, Mesheshes, Mebereshes, Baruch Hashem created the world, so he created in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. So the Pasuk says, by Baruch Hakim Samashvi, by Kadesh also. The Baruch Hashem was Mekadesh, all the Shabbosim, Lasid, Lavoi, the Olam Void. Every Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh directly. That's why we say in Kiddush and we say in the Shema Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh HaShabbos Yontif and Rosh Chodesh. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not Mekadosh. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Mekadosh Yisrael Rosh Chodesh. Mekadosh Yisrael the Hazmanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh Bnei Yisrael, and we have to put together a Beis Din, and the Beis Din has to declare when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Mele we create the Kedushas Rosh Chodesh and the Kedushas Yontif. But Kedusha Shabbos, we really don't create. It's Kriya V'Kama Misheshes Mei Breshes. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh all the Shabbosim already. So when the Pasuk says, Zochar Siyom HaShabbos Likacho means, Zochar means Lahaskir. The verb Zayin Chof Resh sometimes means to remember, Lizkor, and sometimes it means Lahaskir, to mention. So Zochar Siyom HaShabbos means mention the Kedusha Sayyim, Likacho to be Mesiv Kedusha Al Kedushosai. Shabbos already is clear the Kama Mishesh Mei Bereishis. Baruch Hashem says we should recite Kiddush and we will be Moisif Kiddush Al Kiddushos. Shabbos will have Kiddushos Bnei Adam as well. Not just Kiddushos Min HaShemayim, have Kiddushos Bnei Adam by our reciting the Kiddush. That's similar to the Din, the Gemara quotes a Braisa Nidorim. The Din is, let's say I want to make a neder not to eat, I'm supposed to lose weight. So I take a neder, I'm not going to eat potato chips, I'm not going to eat ice cream. I say the potato chips and the ice cream and the cookies should be like chazer, should be like basa. I take a neder, should be like chazer. So the Gemara said that's a hatfasa b'dabah ha'osur. That neder is not chal. But if I say I take a neder that the potato chips and the cookies and all the fattening foods should be also just like a korban. So a korban, we are makdish the korban. That's dabah hanodur. Atfas has to be b'dabah hanodur. If you make atfas b'dabah haser, it's not chal. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. What if the person is matvis the korban b'chor? A b'chor, when a behemoth toira gives birth to first blood, is a zohar, it automatically has kedusha. The Gemara's lashon is kodesh mirechem. And it means, does mean it's Kaddish in the Rechem of the mother. Before it's born, it's Chulin. After it's born, Yotza Rosh Verubo, then it becomes Kaddish Meirechem when it's born. So the Gemara quotes in Achlekes Rebbe Nachacham, Rebbe holds a Bechor, Mitzvah Lahakdisha. And we pass on like that in the Rambam. It's a, even though the Bechor Behemotor is Kaddish by itself, it's Kaddish Ben Hashemayim, Kaddish Meyelob, it's a Dover HaAsur. But if you fulfill the Mitzvah, Kala Bechor should, so Rabbi Yudal Nasi, Rabbi says, Tagdish is a Bchor Mitzvah L'Hagdisha. The farmer who has a Bchor Behemot Torah He knows it already is Kodesh. It's a mitzvah. He should declare. So gets Kedusha al Kedusha Asai. So if he wasn't, if the farmer did not say, and someone's going to make a hatfasa, the potato chips and the cookies and the fatting food should be like a b'chor, and the farmer was not magdashid, then it's hatfasa b'dover ha'asar. That's like saying the potato chips and the cookies should be like chazah, should be like basa b'cholim, so that neder is not chal. But if the farmer did what he's mechuyev to do, he did say, so not only does it have the kedusha that's born me'eleho, the habchor is noilad me'rechem, kodesh me'rechem, but when I'm magdish and I'm ma'isim kedusha al kedusha asai, and then it becomes a dova hanodr, then the Gemara says the hatfasa will be valid. The mitzvah la kedusha means that it's chal. So the Ramban learns on Chumash, that's what the pasuk means. Zochar sam shabbos l'kacha, zochar means mention the kedusha asayayim. The verb zayin chofresh in this pasuk doesn't mean remember the day of Shabbos. It means mention the kedusha of Shabbos to add on a higher level of kedusha. If you don't say kiddush, then the Shabbos is only kviyah v'kamim sheshes may breishes as kedusha min hashamayim. But if you recite kiddush, then likatsho you must have kedusha al kedusha. And the Rambam Chumash compares it to the din of Yovel, that it says, V'kidash nemishnasach ha'mishim shana. The Bezin has to declare after seven Shemitahs, after 49 years, every 70 year of Shemitah. So the Bezin has Bezin Agadol. You don't need all the 71 members of the Bezin Agadol. Bezin Agadol has to appoint a subcommittee. They don't have to be members of the Bezin Agadol. They can, if they can be members of the Bezin Agadol or not. They have to have smicha. And they put the Bezin Agadol, authorizes the Bezin to declare that the Shnas HaYovel should be Kodesh B'Kedushas HaYovel. The Kiddashem Shnas HaHamishim Shana. So just like over there, the Kiddashem, Bezin has to declare it as a Shana Mukodesh. And if they don't declare it, then the Soros are not Chosus of Baleim B'Yovel when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. And the Eved Ivri is not Yotze L'Cheres. You need, Bezin has to be Mekadesh the year. And you don't have to absorb all the dinim of Yovel. Yovel has the same dinim as Shemitah. Everything that grows in Efke, not a lot of planting, not a lot of harvest. All the dinim of Avod is HaKarka, like a regular Shemitah year. So here also, the Pasuk says, Hayam, that's Dabbeis, and Megillah, Dabbeis and Beis. Hayam and Ma'ela, these 2 days of Purim, Yud Dalet and Tezvav. Yud Dalet is for the whole world, and Tezvav is Shushan Purim, for the people who live in Shushan, people who live in Yerushalayim, Ayoros HaMakof Eschayim, and Mimois HaShub Enun. So those 2 days, Yudal and Tezav, Hayam Ha'el and Nizkarim, they are spoken of. V'na'asim does mean that they are remembered. They are spoken of. What do you mean they are spoken of? Gemara said that refers to Mikra Megillah. That's the whole mocker. The Pasuk in Megillah says, La'asos ha'asavim may mishta v'simcha m'shlach manasim sh'lurei matanis l'avien. That says, B'loshan Chiyuv. You have to have a Sudas Purim, may mishta v'simcha, the 2 days, Yudal and Tezav. And you have to have Shalach Manas, you have to have Matanas Lavyan. Mikra Megillah doesn't say Balosh and Tzivah, it says these days are spoken of. Spoken of refers to the Mikra Megillah. So that's a discussion in the Poskim, the Munkacha, the Milchas Oluza, Munkacha Rebbe, and others before him. They discuss, is it really so that Mikra Megillah is a Divrei Kabbalah? The Gemara has an expression in a different context, the Gemara in Tainus has. The Dibri Kabbalah ki Dibri Torah damim. Dibri Kabbalah has sometimes the so chomer, more chomer than a regular. Dibri Kabbalah means a din de rabbanon that appears in the Nevi'im Aksuvim. So it has the approval of the Bezin Shalmanah. So it's a higher level of a din de rabbanon. Most of the din de rabbanon, we don't know if they have the approval of the Bezin Shalmanah. But whatever's in Tanakh, Tanakh was written in Baruch HaKadosh, it has the approval. So the Gemara says Dibri Kabbalah ki Dibri Torah damim has a slightly higher level than a regular din de rabbanon. So that's the Shaila. That's the Shaila. We have a rule, Safik Daraisa Luchumas, Safik Darabon Lukula. What if you have a Safik Dibri Kabbalah? You have a Safik. I heard the Megillah. I'm not sure whether I missed the word or not. The Balkar was reading very quickly. And they were clapping Haman, though I'm making noise. I'm not sure whether I heard every word. So Rabbi Kidega quotes from the Turi Evan, authored by the Shagasari, Megillah. He has a chumer. He thinks Mikra Megillah is Dibri Kabbalah. in Divrei Kabbalah k'Divrei Torah Damyan. So just like Sofik Daraisa L'Chumra, Sofik Divrei Kabbalah will give you L'Chumra. So if you're not sure, if you missed a word, you have to go L'Chumra, you have to say over the Pasuk, you have to hear over the Mikra Megillah. You're not Yotze Mi Sofik. You have to have that, it should be Torah's Badai. So not all of the Achranim agree with this Shagasari. And Chazalos and others are not so convinced, because there's such a Rashi in Masechus Tainus, I think, where Rashi writes that it's only considered Divrei Kabbalah if it appears in Tanakh Veloshim Tzivui, like Lasa Sos Mimei Mishta de Simcha, Mishtoch Manus Yishalei, Matanus Lev Yoinim. You have to have a Suda Sperm, you have to have Shalach Manus, you have to have Matanus Lev Yoinim. Because Megillah is Veloshim Sipur. The Tanakh says, the Pasuk says, Megillah says, Tayyam Amelin, this Karim and Asim, the days are spoken of, means that you read the Megillah. That is the practice, but it doesn't say you mechliv to. It's Balosh and Tzipa that they did it, so that could be that that's not elevated to the level of Divrei Kabbalah. So that's a shaila where they really followed that Turi Evan that Rabbi Kivega quoted. Could well be that not. So that's the shaila. When was Mikra Megillah Balayla introduced? So that's what Rabbi Shlomo Levilner has a sefer. Shlomo Levilner was a dying in Vilna the late 1800s when they were printing the Vilna Shas. He was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. His grandson used to teach in the yeshiva, Rabbi Markelis. He said that the family tradition has it that the grandfather of Shlomo Levilner corrected the galleys of the Vilna Shas from memory. He remembered word for word every word the Gemara Rashi and Tosfos said. He didn't have to check in another Gemara to make sure that it says what it's supposed to say. He remembered everything. So he checked the galleys, his Baal Peh. So he was a dayan for a long time. He was a dayan together with Rabbi Chaim Oizer for many years. He was much older than Rabbi Chaim Oizer. Rabbi Shlomo Levilner has this suggestion that maybe what Tosfos means on the Abdallah and Aleph, that the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom and Balayla is less significant. Maybe what it means is Mikra Megillah Bayom is an old takana. That's Divrei Kabbalah. Even if you're it's not Divrei Kabbalah, that's from the days of the Tanoim, as opposed to Mikra Megillah Balayla, that's a lower level. Maybe that was only introduced in the days of the Amoraim. That's a shaila. So the Sfardim follow the Rambam Shita. They don't say Shechianu in the morning in Mikra Megillah, because they just read the Megillah last night. They follow the Rambam. You don't say Shechianu. And the Ashkenazim follow the Tosfos and Abdallah and all of that. You do say Mikra Megillah. Here down the block, in Breuer should have a lot of Minhagim, even though Breuer is from Frankfurt, that's the middle of Germany, but to have a lot of Minhagim from the Sfardim. Whenever there are two Haftaris, one for Sfardim and one for Ashkenazim, they say the Sfardim should have Torah. They daven Nusach Ashkenaz, they don't daven Nusach Sfard, but they have a lot of practices. So Mikra Megillah, Mikra Megillah in the morning, they don't say Shechianu. They follow the Rambam that they don't say Shechianu. Yeah, so the Faneha, before you start the Mikra Megillah, at least Balayla, you say three brach. First bracha is on Mikra Megillah, second bracha is Shas on Nisim, and the third bracha is Shehechiyonu. In the morning, it's a Shaila where they say Shehechiyonu. The Meiri has a famous comment. The Meiri has a famous comment. The Chidor lived in the 1700s. Abchaim Yosef David Azulai. The Chidor was a Meshulach. He raised money for the Yiddish Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. It was a small Yishuv, Tamir HaChamim and Yeshivas. He used to travel around Europe and raise money and send it to Eretz Yisrael. He died in 1802 or something like that. He was buried in Italy. And then later, in the 1900s, his body was moved to Eretz Yisrael, the late 1900s. So the Chidor, whenever he would go to a new community, if he heard that there was a valuable library, he would go take a look what Sifrei Kodesh they have. And whenever they had Rishonim, Achronim, he would read through the whole Sefer, and if he found something new, he would copy it over. So he was the one who discovered a lot of the Meiris. No one else had copies of the Meiris, so he would copy down. Whenever the Meiri had a Chiddush, Halacha Lamaisa, Psak Halacha, he would copy it down. So this was known before the Meiri was printed on Megillah. The Meiri's opinion is that when you read the Megillah at night, you say Shachyanu because you haven't read the Megillah since last year. When you read the Megillah by Yom, you say Shachyanu because it's a Yantif. Like on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos Roshani Yom Kippur, you say Shachyanu. But Pesach Shavuot Sukkos Roshani Yom but the yontif begins from sundown to sundown. So you say Shachanu at the end of the Kiddush. On Pesach Shavuot Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you don't say Kiddush. So we say Shachanu after Kol Nidre. And Shul, we all say together Shachanu. But on Purim, the yontif begins in the morning. What's up this? That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to talk a lot about that. The yontif begins in the morning because there's a difference. By Bnei Yisrael, it's going to Erev ad Erev. Shabbos begins at Seisach Kochavim, Yonta begins at Seisach Kochavim, and ends at Seisach Kochavim. By the Umas Ha'ilam, who count to the, we have a lunar year, they have a solar year. Not exactly so. By us, the month is a lunar month, but the year is a solar year. That's why we make the Shana Mubera. That's what the Rambam says. The month by us is a lunar month, and the year is a solar year. We want Pesach. We don't want Pesach to float around. The lunar year is 11 days shorter than the solar year. Solar year is 365 days. Lunar year is 354 days. It's 11 years shorter. 11 days shorter than the solar year. So if you leave everything the way it is, Pesach every year will be 11 days earlier, 11 days earlier, 11 days earlier. So Pesach will, instead of falling out in the spring time, it will fall out in the winter, then it's going to fall out in the fall, then it's going to fall out in the summer, and then years later it's going to fall out again in the springtime. It's going to keep on floating. So the Torah doesn't want that. The Torah wants Pesach should be Chag HaAsif. It should be what's the lashon of the pasuk? B'chodesh Aviv. Pesach should be B'chodesh Aviv. The Sukkah should be Gos B'cha Masechem in Asada. Chag HaAsif has to correspond to the to the seasons. That's what the Rambam explains. By us, the calendar, our calendar is a hybrid. The months are lunar months. We declare Rosh Chodesh when they have Chodesh Halavana. But the year is a solar year. So every 2-3 years, we're going to make a Shana Mubaris, make 13 months to catch up. So Pesach shouldn't be off so far. Shouldn't be too far off. So the Midrashim have it like that. And the Achrayim have a lot like that. It's a little bit in the Gemara. That by the Umas Ha'ilam, whose calendar is more a solar calendar as opposed to a lunar, by us the months are lunar, by the Nochrim everything is solar, nothing is lunar. So by the Nochrim, Halayla Halach Achrayim, the day begins at Alos HaShachar, and it ends next morning at Alos HaShachar. By us, all the days begin, Lahiyere Vayivayker. First you have Laila, then Hayom Halach Achar Alayla. Shabbos and Yontav and Chanukah, every Yontav, every Jewish holiday begins at nightfall, and it goes to the next nightfall, except for Purim. The Meiri says, why Purim? Because Purim originally was established as a day when Haman was going to kill all the Jews. So Haman goes with the Goyish attitude that the days begin in the morning. Today, they say the day begins at midnight. Day begins, goes from midnight to midnight, but we don't have that. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Abchof and the Beis, where Rashi and Tosa had a Habamina in the Gemara, that the day should go from midnight to midnight, a very shvera Rashi and Tosfos. But we don't assume like that. We assume by us, Hayom Halach Achar Alayla, all the days begin from Seisach Kochavim till the next Seisach Kochavim, and by the Umas Ha'olam, who count L'chot She HaKama, they don't count anything L'chot She HaLvan, everything is L'chama, so by them, the day begins with the morning. So since Purim began as a day, well, that was chosen by Haman to kill all the Jews, and then in Nepach Lahem, Miyogam Esimcha, and Eva Liyantav, so the holiday begins in the morning, because it originally started as a Goisha holiday. So you say Shachyon in the morning, not so much on the Mikra Megillah. No, the Rambam is right. We just read the Megillah last night. We're not so excited in the morning. You say Shachyon in the morning, because that's when Purim begins. Purim only begins in the morning. Rav Soloveitchik used to talk about that a lot. There's one opinion in Shulchan Aruch, we don't follow this, one opinion in Shulchan Aruch, that if you daven Ma'ariv Leil Purim before you read the Megillah, that's what we usually do, you daven Ma'ariv first, and then you read the Megillah. So if you didn't read the Megillah yet, when you daven Ma'ariv, you don't say Alah Nisim, because it's not Purim yet. Purim's going to begin in the morning. How about you reading the Megillah? No, it's the night before Purim. We read the Megillah the night before Purim. The Ikam Ikam Megillah is in the morning. That's the Loshan HaGemara. And the Abdallah the Manal of the Amara say, Chai Vodim Likras HaMegillah Balayla Ulshanosa Bayom. And to repeat it, what's that to repeat it? So Rav Soloveitchik quoted from the Netziv as a Hagdamah to Chumash Mos in his Sefer HaChumash. So he says, what's the Lashon HaGemara? Ul Shanoisa Bayom. He says the purpose of the Mikra Megillah Balayla, let's say when the boys in the yeshiva learned the Gemara the first time, so we say they made a leinen on the Gemara. So they figured out superficial pshat. Then they have to go over it a few times to make sure that they understand it. The second time you read the Gemara, you'll understand it much better than the first time. First time you break and you have to figure out what's going on. So when you read the Megillah, Leil Purim, it's only a hachoni. You're not yotze anything. So they used to always give mishalim. So he said, let's say someone read the Megillah balayla, and he dies before he reads the Megillah in the morning. He has accomplished nothing with the Kriyas HaMegillah balayla. The Kriyas HaMegillah balayla is a hachone, so that the Kriyas HaMegillah bayom will be the Ulishanosa. The Kriya balayla is like the leinen. That's a hachone, so that when you read the Megillah in the daytime, you'll remember some of the details from last year. In Yiddish, there's an expression, the year is very long and the memory is very short. So we don't remember from one year to the next the whole story of the Mikra Megillah. But what happened first, what happens second. So we lay the Megillah Balayla as Hachone, so that when we read the Megillah Bayom, we'll understand it better. Because the Yom Tov really begins Bayom. And that's what the Rav Shlomo Levilner says. He thinks the Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla was instituted Bizman Amorai. Bizman HaTanaim didn't exist. That's a shot. The Rishonim all assume that. So the Rishonim assume that the Mikra Megillah did exist in the days of the Tanaim. And they find it difficult. How come the Mishnah never says it? The Mishnah sounds like Mishnah only talks about Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom. Never says a word about Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla. The first ones who say Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla, that's the Amorim, and Abdallah and Amal, Chayabal Mikras HaMegillah Balayla, Ulishanosa Bayom. Yes, Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying that over. He brought other rayas that the Yom Tov really begins in the morning. Doesn't begin at night. They say in the Torah, when they quote the opinion, they say, if you already read the Megillah before you daven Ma'ariv, you came home from work on Tainus Esther, you came home late, and you missed the minyan for Ma'ariv, you came in time for Mikra Megillah, and then you're going to daven Ma'ariv after the Kriyas HaMegillah. So since you already read the Megillah, so then you should say Alah Nisim and the Shmoneh Esrei. But if you come home on time, and you go to the minyan, if you're davening Myra before you read the Megillah, it's not yet Purim, so you shouldn't say Alah Nisim. We don't follow that opinion. We pass on the other way, you say Alah Nisim. But it doesn't necessarily contradict this. You can still say the Yom Tov begins in the morning. So they should have had other nafkaminas. Can you get to this? Yeah, what's the story with the Brochab Shuas and Nisim? We don't recite Shuas and Nisim so often. Let's say Shadushuda says Zechalamon. And say Alechem, Lechem Mishnah. Lechem Mishnah is also Zechalamon. There was the man didn't fall down not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. So on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, they had to have a double portion came down. So we say Hamotzi on Shabbos and Yom Tov Zechalamon. And we have Shadushuda on Shabbos Zechalamon. So that's some Rishon. The Rabbeinu Tam says that women are Mechuyev. The Rishonim have a discussion. It's observing Shalashudas and Lechem Mishnah, these are all mitzvah seseh shaz magrom. So the question is, are women mechuyev to observe mitzvah seseh shaz magrom? So there's a Gemara in Broches and Daf Chof in the days, where the Gemara says that the Mishnah says, women are mechuyev to daven. So the Gemara says, Shita, why should I think otherwise? Why would I think women are part of this? The Gemara says, Ma'u detema, there's a sabzman. There's a zman to daven shachris, and there's a zman for mincha, and there's a zman for ma'ariv. Can't just daven whenever you want to. So since there's a zman in kavuim, one might have thought that it's a mitzvah says shesar zman grama, so women should be pata. So kamash malan, that despite the fact that it's a zman grama, women are mekuyim. So Rashi crosses out the girsa, because Rashi said that's ridiculous. This halacha, mitzvah says shesar zman grama, noshem manat mekuyim. That's the klal only applies. The mitzvahs d'oraisa applies to tefillin, to tzitzis, lulav, shofar. Doesn't apply to so many mitzvahs. There are more exceptions to the rule than there are mitzvahs that are covered with the rule. Women are mechuyev in kiddush, despite the fact that it's magrama. Women are mechuyev in matzah. Women are mechuyev in sipitzias mitzrayim. Women are mechuyev in hakel, anashim and nashim and taf. There are more mitzvahs, hasesh and magrama, that are exceptions to the rule that women are mechuyev than there are mitzvahs that follow the rule. So So Rashi claims that the rule, women are exempt from mitzvah Shema Grama, only applies to mitzvahs d'oraisa. It doesn't apply to mitzvah d'rabbanan. And you can't have such a gear in the Gemara. I would have thought women are exempt from davening because davening is Shema Grama. Davening is only mid-rabbanan. Rashi, davening is only mid-rabbanan. The Rambam thinks that davening once every day is min haTorah. But all the other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. They hold that davening is a legamer mid-rabbanan. That's Hiv. The Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Inyan HaTfila is the Raisa. It means, if you do daven, there's a kiyum. It's not like talking to the walls. The Rebbe Shalom is listening, is paying attention. And then the better chance of having your request fulfilled, if you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, than if you don't ask him. So the Ramban said, the Inyan HaTfila is the right, but the Chiv to daven, that's only with the Rabban. So Rashi says that it's a mistake, and he crosses out those few lines from the Gemara, and Brochas Dav Chofen Beis. Tessie said, why is that a mistake? No. Called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Raisa Tikkun, just like on the level of the Raisa. Women are exempt from Tfilin and Tzitzis and Sukkah and Shofar and Lulav, because it's his Mangramas. So on the level of the Mitzvah of the Rabbanan also, women are exempt from Mitzvah Sessah and Mangramah. And Tessie proves that Vaharaya, that the Shola Gemara, women are not Mukhiv to recite Halal. So Tosfos says, everybody knows Halal on Yom Tov is only the Rabbanan, that's not the Raisa. And nonetheless, women are not mechuyev to recite Halal. So that shows that women are part of mitzvah such a mangrama, even if the mitzvah is only the Rabbanan. Maybe Rashi holds the Halal on Yom Tov is the Raisa. That's where Abdel Bala Salvechik says. Because Rashi insists that the exemption, women are exempt from mitzvah mangrama, only applies to mitzvah the Raisa. It doesn't apply to mitzvah the Rabbanan. So the Tosfos insists that they're right, that applies equally to mitzvah the Rabbanan, and I say that that's why the Gemara says the women are mechuyev and hasebe on Pesach night, and women are mechuyev in mikra megillah, women are mechuyev in hadlokas neres Chanukah, despite the fact that all three of them are mitzvah sesesh as mangrama the Rabbanan, hasebe is not their raisa to eat the hasebe, and to hear the megillah and to light neres Chanukah is only the Rabbanan. But women should have been exempt because it's the mitzvah such as my grandma, Nashim Peturais. So nonetheless, the Gemara says, because Afin Ha, the Esanes, therefore they are mechuyev. Despite the fact that it's as my grandma, women are mechuyev. That's a shayla. What does that mean? What does that mean? So they quote from Abdel Bala Soloveitchik, he said, the Rishonim seem to possibly have two different interpretations, what that means. What is the nature of the mitzvah of Pisumi Nisa? We'll soon talk a little more about Pisumi Nisa. What's the nature, let's say, of Haseba and Arbakaisis is for the sake of Pisumi Nisa, Mikra Megillah, and Hadlokas Neres Chanukah? Maybe it's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and Ikdash Tibisok B'nei Yisrael. So the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, when the Rebbe Shalom makes Nisim and Aflos, we have the Mepharsim it. This, you have to read the Megillah and Purim, and you have to light Neres Chanukah and Chanukah, and you have to eat Behel Seba and have Arbakosis by the Seba. This particular form is only the Rabbanan, but it's a form of the mitzvah that exists on the level of the Raisa, and on the level of the Raisa, this mitzvah, Saseb and Igdash, to be self and Esau, is not as Mangroma. So maybe that's what the Gemara means. Afen Havyos Hanes. Since the nature of the mitzvah is pirsumi nisa, and that's a kiyum of the mitzvah of the nigdash to b'sof in Israel, so maybe that's why there's no exemption of zman grama, because it's a chelik of the mitzvah deraisa, which is not a zman grama. So there are Dovalis quoted as saying, if that's the case, then not only women will be mechuyev in all of these mikra megillah and hadlokas neres chanukah, ebeknani will also. Ebeknani has the same din as isha. There's a gezeres shavah lo lo mi isha. Chub shala nitan lo, it says by the Shivcha Knaim, is chub shala nitan lo, and it says, because of lo save your creases. So the Gemara learns out from that, Zerushal. Lo la me'isha, a lot of dinim. One of the dinim is that you need ksiva lishma by your get and by your shtav shichar abe knaini, because you learn out lo la me'isha. Then another din, more dinim, another din is that just like women are not obligated to observe mitzvah sesesh shahaz magram, so to an ebek naini is not obligated to observe mitzvah sesesh shahaz magram. So there's a question in the you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Torah, the Magen Avraham talks about it, whether only avodim mishuchrorim are mechuyif to mikra begila, or even avod kanaini was not mishuchr, because the Gemara said women should have been parted because it's magrama. So it's an exception to the rule because often have yosanes. So it doesn't mean it's an exception to the rule. They made a special takana. So then maybe they only made the takana by Isha, maybe they never made the takana by Yevikneini. But there's room to interpret, not so. The room to interpret, often have yosanes, since the nature of the mitzvah, midirabonon, al arbekaisis, and asebe, and so on, mikram gilah, habakas neroschanik, the nature of the mitzvah is the farsamis anes. So that's Kiddush Hashem. So the mitzvah of Nikdash to Pesach B'nei Yisrael is not as magrama. This particular form of fulfillment is as magrama. You only read the Megillah on Purim. You only light the Neres Chanukah on Chanukah. This particular form is as magrama. But the basic mitzvah that this is a fulfillment of is B'nei Yisrael. That's a mitzvah that says Shalah as magrama. If you say like that, that Gemara is explaining after Yabes Anes, so it's a chelik of the mitzvah Pesumei Nisa of Kiddush Hashem. Then Evakinani will also be Mechuyim. He just explained it away, why it's not as Magrov. So that seems to be a Machlokes in the Rishonim. When you say women are Mechuyim and Mikra Megillah and all the others, Afan Habiyos Hanes, does it only apply to women or does it apply to Evakinani Shalot? An Evachan Ishtachrer is not an Evan anymore. If he was freed by the Adam, then he's a Ben Chorim. But an Evakinani Shalot Ishtachrer, that's a Mefurisha Machlokes in the Rishonim, whether they're Mechuyim and Mikra Megillah and so on. Yeah, so there's a famous tshuva in the Chasam Sofer's tshuvas. I think the last tshuva in Chelek Arachaim. Somebody asked him a question. Why don't we say that women should be obligated to wear tefillin afen ha'adiyos anes? Why? Because it says the purpose of wearing tefillin is lamantir Hashem beficha, lamantir toras Hashem beficha, kibiyach hazacha otziach Hashem imetzraim. In the parashas of Tefillin, it says something about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the purpose to Elis of wearing Tefillin is that we should remember about Yitzias Zechel and Nisim. We should wear the Tefillin Zechel and Nis. So the Gemara says, whenever you have a mitzvah, that's Pesumi Nisa, women are mechuyev, despite the fact that it says Man Groma. So Tefillin is says Man Groma because Shabbos and Yom Tov we don't wear Tefillin. According to the Rambam, you don't wear tefillin by Laila. It's a din deraisa. That's a machlekes. Whether Laila loves man tefillin is a din deraisa, din derabana. The Rambam stands alone. He holds that it's a din deraisa. That Laila loves man tefillin is a din deraisa. So tefillin is as man grama. So Shabbos and Yom Tov not mechuyev. And by Laila, according to the Rambam, you don't wear tefillin is a din deraisa. So women should have been parted from tefillin because it says man grama. But I should have said it's an exception to the rule because of Afenoi Biosanes. It's the Mantia Teresa Shabbificha Kibiyach Azaka, Otsiach Hashem and Mitzrayim, and Zechel Itzias Mitzrayim. So women should be Mechuyev like Arbekosis, like Asseb and so on. So the Chasam Sofer quotes, there's one opinion in Taisis where they say, this Svar Afenoi Biosanes only applies to a mitzvah de Rabbana. It doesn't apply to mitzvah de Raisa. So if you say like that, so Tfilin is a din de Raisa, that doesn't apply. But the other Balei HaTosfos don't say like that. They say the Svara is only a Svara midrabbanan. The Svara could work on a mitzvah deraisa also, but only on the level of the Rabbanan. So why not say that women are mechuyev midrabbanan to wear tefillin? You can't say the mechuyev midrabbanan to wear tefillin because the whole Svara of Afanayat Hanes, therefore women are mechuyev. The whole Svara is only midrabbanan. But why not say women are mechuyev to wear tefillin with the rabbanon because often have yes on this? That's the kasha. That's that what they ask the Chasam Sofer. So Chasam Sofer gives an answer, and Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't say it over b'shem the Chasam Sofer. He said it over from his father Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik. He said it clearer. He formulated l'shoynis. So the Chasam Sofer says the same answer, but he doesn't have the sharp l'shoynis. So Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik said there are two kinds of mitzvahs. Sometimes it's Zechel Anes, and sometimes it's Pirsumei Nisa. You only say Afan Ha'Bias Anes when the nature of the mitzvah is Pirsumei Nisa. So, Mikra Megillah, you read the whole story. When you light Neres Chanukah, so you say, HaNeres Salalam Adlikam Alan Nisim Alan Eflos. Also, that you thought the reciting of HaNeres Salalam is Likuba Svara. If you don't say HaNeres Salalam, it could be that you're not yet in the mitzvah of HaNeres. Because the whole mitzvah of of Hadlokas Haneris is supposed to be not an Abzechelina, it's supposed to be Pisuminis on Pesach night, Arbakosis and Hasebis Pisuminis, because he tells CPTS Mitzrayim, he tells the whole story of Arichas. So maybe by Tvilin you don't tell the story. Maybe Tvilin is only Zechelines. And you only say Afan Hadias Hanes, that women are Mechuyev, despite the fact that it says Man Groma, that's only when the nature of the mitzvah is Lefarsem is Hanes. Whenever it's only Zechel Hanes, it doesn't apply. And then Rav Moshe Soloveitchik gathered on, this that some Sefer doesn't have. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik gathered on, and how can we tell? By looking at the mitzvah, how can we tell whether the nature of the mitzvah is supposed to be only Zechel Hanes, or it's supposed to be Pesumi Nisa? So he said, the klal is, whenever you say Shos and Nisim Labaseinu, then the nature of the mitzvah is Pesumi Nisa. That bracha was only instituted when there's a mitzvah Pesumi Nisa. So that's Niche on Mikra Megillah Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. But on Pesach night, the Gemara says the women are Mechuyev and Abrikos is women are Mechuyev and Haseba because Hafen Haidios. Unless we don't say Shos and Nisim on Pesach night. So how can you say it depends on Shos and Nisim? That's what Moshe Soloveitchik said. The Rishonim ask a question, why don't we say Shos and Nisim on Leil HaSeder? We're doing things Lefarsemes Hanes. So the answer, we say the bracha Shegiolano. Golos Abaseinu Mitzrayim Higiyonu Alana Zalecha B'matzamara. The bracha Shegiolano is the equivalent of Shos and Nisim. Takes the place of Shos and Nisim. So the only time you have mitzvahs that are Pisum and Nisim are these few. Mikra Megillah, Adlokas Neiris Chanukah, and Aseba and Abrikosis. Those mitzvahs where you say Shos and Nisim. So again, so that's what the Gemara says. Before you read the Megillah, we say three brachas. First bracha, Manach, is the Rosh Hashanah. The first, Mikra Megillah. Even say, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvah, Yisrael b'tzivanu, on a mitzvah derabbanon, even though the Rabbanon Shlom didn't instruct us to observe the Rabbanon, the Gemara says he did. Some mocker or another, there's a mocker of Chumash that we're obligated to observe dinim derabbanon as well. And then we say the bracha, Sheech Yonu. And then we say the bracha Shos and Nisim, because the nature of the mitzvah Mikra Megillah is not just Zechel Hanes, it's Lefarsemes Hanes. We tell the whole story from the beginning to the end by Mikra Megillah. And then we have the third bracha Shachianu, that's the Machloikas of Rishayim. The Rama holds you only say Shachianu Balayla, you don't say Bayom, because he just read the Megillah last night. The mitzvah that comes every day, one day after the other, so you're not so excited, so you don't say Shachianu. But by Ashkenaz and the Sfardim, the Mechaber follows the Rambam, and that's what the Sfardim practice. They don't say Shachianu Bayom. And Broyes follows that practice. Same thing when you blow Shofar on the second day, Rosh Hashanah is also Machloikis. He just blew Shofar yesterday. So, and any other Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, we say Shachianu on the second day, because it's a Sfeika D'Yayma. We, the Rabbanon, they say, even though they fixed the Luach Kavua, we know 1,000 years in advance when Yom Tov is going to be. We have a calendar. It's all worked out already. But still, they made a Takana Sholcha Mitam. The Gemara says in the beginning of Beitza, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael during the lifetime of Abai Barava, when the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael instituted the Luach Kavua. So they sent a message to the Kehilas and Chutzlords. They should still continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni. They should still continue to observe it as if there were still a Sfeika D'Yayma, even though there isn't. So since we treat it as if there still is a Sfeika D'Yayma, then we say maybe yesterday was Erev Yom Tov, and we said Shechianu yesterday was a mistake, it was Erev Yom Tov, and really today is the Yom Tov. So the Shechianu doesn't count that we said yesterday. But on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says it's not a Sfeika D'Yayma, it's a Yom Arichta. What the Gemara calls Kedusha Achas. Rashi calls it Yom Arich. The Gemara calls it Kedusha Achas for 48 hours. It's not a Kedusha Sayyam for 24 hours, and then another Kedusha Sayyam for 24 hours. It was one long Kedusha Sayyam for 48 hours. So then, half of the Rishonim hold that you don't say Shachyanu on the second day Rosh Hashanah. Not by the Kiddush Balayla, and not when you blow the Shofar in the morning, because we just blew Shofar yesterday. So the Sfardim follow that sheet, that they don't say Shachyanu in the morning of the second day, Rosh Hashanah, unless the first day Rosh Hashanah was Shabbos. So you didn't blow Shofar on the first day, then you say Shachianu on the second day. But if it's a regular weekday, instead you blew the Shofar on the first day, then you blow again on the second day, that the Svardim follow the Rambam, you don't say Shachyonu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The Ashkenazim do say Shachyonu. The Ramban has in the Melchamas and Beitza, in the first parak, he explains that we say that Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achad, that's Lechumre. But Lechumre, you have to go the other direction also. We treat it both as Yoyma Richta and as Fake of the Yoyma, each one Lechumre. He has a whole explanation, a historical explanation why that is so. So that's the Gemara that we ran through last week, that by Mikra Megillah you have a bracha before the Mikra Megillah and after. The bracha before, that's a real din. Doesn't depend on Minig HaMokim, but the bracha after Mikra Megillah depends on the Minig HaMokim. The bracha after Mikra Megillah starts Baruch Atah Hashem Elkeinu Melech Haolam, Rabbi Sirveinu Adonis Dineinu. He starts Baruch Atah. When you get an Aliyah also, he said bracha before, bracha after. The bracha after, we don't consider it smucha lechavata to the bracha before, because we were mafsik with the Mikra Megillah in between. We were mafsik with the Kriyas Aliyah in between. So the bracha after an Aliyah, bracha atah Hashem Elkein Mecha. Shanasan lo terasem lecha yonam nata bezachena. So we start baruch atah. On Halal and Pesukei Dezimra, the bracha afterwards starts Yishtabach after Pesukei Dezimra. On Shabbos and Yontav, the bracha begins from Nishmas Kol Chai through Yishtabach, longer on Shabbos and Yontav. You don't start Baruch Atah Hashem. We consider a bracha smucha lechavato. Nishmas Kol Chai or Yishtabach is smucha lechavato to Baruch She'omer. And the same thing when you say Hallel. So you say Halleluch at the end. So you don't begin Baruch Atah Hashem. You say Yahaluch Hashem Akal Masecha. How come by Hallel and by Pesukei Dezimra we consider the second bracha shel Achareha a smucha lechavato, and by Aliyas and the Sefer Torah and by Mikra Megillah we say bracha after the Aliyah, after the whole Kriyas HaMegillah, we don't treat it, we don't consider it smucha lechavato, it's pasachas bebaruch. So the Ritva explains why he has the Ritva always has melitzas, very beautiful melitzas. His name is Rabbeinu Yontif, he lived in Seville. So his name is Rabbeinu Yontif Asbeli, because he lived in Seville. So my father had the one or two ritvos that he had, they were printed in Europe. My father's collection of svarim was a long time ago, before they started printing svarim in America. So I remember he had an old copy of the ritvo, where they write on the title page that Kol Mokam Shedvar Magim, Sosu Vesimcha V'Yontav Leihudim. His name was Rabbeinu Yontif. His name is Rabbeinu Yontif. So I said, it's a Yontif Leihudin because he writes very cheerful, Lushainas. The Ran on Chidush Ran on any Mesichta, or the Ran on the Rif, always a very boring style. It's not a cheerful, not a lovely, but the Rabbeinu Yontif Ashbeli, the Ritva is always a cheerful style. So that's why they would write, Komokam Shadvar Magim, Sasam Simcha, the Yontif Leihudin. So he has on this question, how come the bracha after Mikra Megillah and after an Aliyah starts Baruch Atah Hashem? We don't consider it smucha lechavato, so it has to be pasachas bebaruch, as opposed to the bracha Yishtabach or the bracha of Yehalalucha, that it is considered smucha lechavato to the bracha before. It is smucha lechavato to the Baruch Shomar, or smucha lechavato to the bracha before the Halal, and you don't have to be pasachas bebaruch. So he answers, Mim b'mina eina choytzes. Mim she'ena mina choytzes. What does it mean b'mina? So it means a bracha is a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a shevach. So when you're saying Pesukei Dezimra, you're saying Hallel, the whole thing is a shevach. So the bracha before is Asher Kedushanu V'Sosmanu Likros HaHallel. Or you say Baruch Shama at the beginning of Pesukei Dezimra. So that's a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then what do you say in the text of Pesukei Dezimra? Pesukim of shevach. You're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then you say the bracha at the end, Yehalalucha. On the Shmas Kalchai, or Ishtabach, there's Baita, Shevach, with Shevach, with Shevach. So he said, that's Mucha Lachavito. Because Mimimino, Eno Chaitzitz, it's all pure Shevach. Moshe Niken, if you give an Aliyah, you get an Aliyah, or you're laying a Megillah, so that's Talmud Torah. You're laying Psukim from Chumash, you're laying the Megillah Sester. The Bracha before and after is Shevach. But the Kriyas HaMegillah, or the Kriyas HaPsukim from the Aliyah, and the Chumash, that's not Shevach, that's Halacha, that's Psukim from Tanakh. So he calls it, Mim She'ena Minai is Chaitzit. So therefore, the Bracha Shel Achareha is not considered Smucha Lechavato, because the Mikra Megillah between is Mapsik. That's the melitza that the Ritva uses. Mim mina in a chaytzes, mim mishenim mina chaytzes. That's what Rav Soloveitchik explained.
Brichas Kriya Shema.
Yeah, Brichas Kriya Shema. Each one is smucha lachavata. Why? That's a good question. You're saying Kriya Shema in the middle, so why shouldn't that be a hepsik? So why shouldn't it be smucha? I don't know. That's a good question. That's a very good question. Yeah. I don't know. The Gemara has been, we spoke a little bit about this, and Ali has to have a minimum of three psukim, and every day, Shana v'chamisha, you have to have a minimum of three aliyas, so it should really be three, three, and three is nine psukim, but that's a special takana, the Kriya Satara altogether has to have a minimum of ten psukim. So one of the three aliyas has to be four psukim. So the Gemara says, whichever one you give four, if you give the Kohen four psukim, that has a source that you start off with the best, you start off with the fattest aliyah with four psukim. If you give the middle one, that's, it makes sense to be mechabit the middle aliyah. Or if you give the last one, it makes sense to be mechabit the last one. Whoever gets four psukim is better. I think, did we mention it? The author of the Torah Mimer, Rabbi HaLevi Epstein, was a Levi. His father was the author of the Aruch HaShulchan. So his father had a brother. They were all Levi. My father had a brother. So once in a while, he wrote an autobiography that's called Mikor Baruch. The roots, his name is Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tmeimah. So he writes, Mikor Baruch, what's the roots of the family? Where do they come from? So he says they originally were Sephardim. They're descendants from Sephardim. And the family name used to be Ben Reshti. And Epstein is a corruption of the name, I think that's Ben Reshti. And he writes about his different members of the family. Each one was a different character, personality. He writes about the Nitziv's wife. She was older than her husband, and she always had an opinion on everything, his first wife. And the second wife, when the first wife passed away, then Aruch HaShulchan married his sister. Married the sister of the Baruch Epstein, who was the daughter of the Aruch HaShulchan. So he always, whenever Baruch Epstein refers to the Nitziv, he always calls him Dodi Gisi, my uncle, my brother-in-law, because he started off as his uncle. His mother, Mrs. Baruch HaShulchan, her maiden name was Berlin. She was the sister of the Nitziv. And then when the Nitziv's first wife passed away, so the daughter of the Aruch HaShulchan, who was a Grusha, she ran away from her husband. She decided her husband doesn't know how to learn. And the parents said, you're crazy, why are they running away? It was against the law to run away from your husband. So the police were looking for her in the forest. She was hiding. She refused to go back to her husband. She decided the husband is an Amoritz. He's sitting and learning all day. He's an Amoritz. And then when they heard that the Nitziv's wife passed away, so she said she'll marry the Nitziv. There was a major age gap between them, something like 30-year difference. So she said he knows how to learn. And her son from the Nitziv was Rameh Bar Ilan, and the son from the first wife was Rab Chaim Berlin. They were half brothers. They had the same father, but they had a different mother. Rab Chaim Berlin, Rameh Bar Ilan, were half brothers, both children of the Nitziv. So and Rameh Bar Ilan was one of the Mizrahi leaders. So he wrote a whole book, Rabban Shel Yisrael. He wrote, it was printed by the Mizrahi many years ago. All about his father, all about the Nitziv. And he has one whole chapter about his mother, the way the mother ran away from her husband. She was so courageous, and she insisted she doesn't want to be married to an Amoritz, and she'd rather be an Aguna than live with the husband who's an Amoritz. The whole story in the Shidduch with the second husband. Very interesting. So again, so he writes that he had an uncle, his father's brother was a Levi, they were all Levim. When he would get an aliyah on the Tainis Sibur, the second aliyah only has three psukim. First aliyah has more than three. The third aliyah has many more than three psukim. Second aliyah only has three psukim. So his uncle was a character. So when he would get Levi, if they would give him Levi on the Tainis Sibur, he refused to say the Baruch Hashem Nosan Lana unless they lend him another pasuk. Because if you have four psukim rather than three, that's muvchor. If you have five psukim rather than four, that doesn't make it mamufkar. Because there's never a need that a pasuk, that an aliyah should be five psukim. But that an aliyah should be four psukim, you do need, because every aliyah has to have a minimum of three psukim in the Kriyas HaTorah, and you only give three aliyahs, one of them has to have four psukim. So that's what the Gemara establishes here on this daf, on Chalfalah and this. An aliyah, four psukim, is more bekovedik than an aliyah with three psukim. And whether the first one gets the four psukim, and the second gets the four psukim, the third one, each one has a source. So he said, why should he be cheated? So he would hold everybody hostage. He would refuse to say the Baruch Hashem Asalmanu unless they would lay in him another pasuk, because the Shlishi is going to get way more than three psukim. So you're not cheating him. That was his practice. So the Gemara here says that you need three psukim. You give three aliyahs, and each aliyah has three psukim. Where did the number three come from? The Gemara says, what is it, keneged? The Gemara says, keneged, the Torah has three parts, keneged Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, keneged Kohanim Levi'im Yisraelim. Torah belongs, there are three parts to the Torah, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, three parts to the Torah Shebichsav. And then there are three parts to the Klal Yisrael, and everybody has the same shaychus to Limud HaTorah, Kohanim Levi'im Yisrael, everybody has a shaychus. It's not only for the elite, it's not only for the Kohanim or only for the Shevet Levi, everybody's supposed to learn Torah. And then we say, in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, on Leil Shabbos, we light two candles. Why? So the Gemara has, when Rav Shem Lachoy came out of the cave, he saw a farmer walking with two roses, with two flowers for Shabbos. So he said, why are you carrying two flowers? So he said, one keneged zach and one keneged shomer. So it's such a beautiful idea. So that's our practice. We light two candles on Leil Shabbos. Mikra din, it's enough. You light one candle. We do two because one keneged zach and one keneged shomer. Many people light for, depending how many children they have. But the Gemara says keneged zach and shomer. So the Ramah said, that's okay. Whenever something is keneged, it means that that's the minimum. But there's no maximum. You want to have more than two is good. The same over here. You're laying a minimum of three psukim. You have an aliyah with 25 psukim. That's not the violation of the keneged. You can give more than three psukim. That's not a problem. Whenever you have something keneged, that's the minimum that you have. If you do more, it's avari good. So the Gemara says, why did they make the takana that you have to have a minimum of 10 psukim? What is that keneged? The Gemara says, keneged aseres adibros, and maybe it's keneged asar mamar shebehem nivra ha'olam. Sure. So then the Gemara says, which are the asar mamaras? You look in Parshas Bereishis, the Gemara says, and it says 10 times, v'yom alakim nihyo, v'yom alakim tachei horas, v'yom alakim yikav ha'amayim. Says 10 times Ayyam Alakim. Freg the Gemara, it's not true. It only says 9 times Ayyam Alakim. So the Gemara answers, Beresh is not me, my Mahavi. Even though it doesn't say Beresh, even though it doesn't say Ayyam Alakim, I want there should be Shemaim Ba'aretz, says Beresh is Ba'alakim, as Shemaim Ba'aretz, there must have been a Tziba Yashem that the Shemaim Ba'aretz should come into existence. So Beresh is not me, my Mahu. Yeah, so the Gemara says, why? Because the person says, that was also the Dvar Elokim. It was also by Yom Elokim. So there must have been a Maimer on the creation of Shamayim Ba'aretz also. It wasn't there. The Baruch Hu created everything Yesh Mayayim. Before he created, nothing existed. So that's the Poshub Shad. Bereish is Zami Maimahu, because it said Bereish Ba'alkim is Hashemayim is Ha'aretz. So there must have been a Rotzen Hashem that Shamayim Ba'aretz should come into existence. Otherwise it wouldn't exist either. So my father told me that he remembers in Europe, where Meshulam Roth held that Russia, my father was a young teenager when he came to America. And Meshulam Roth was a great goyin. After the war was over, he survived the war and he came to Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the more prominent members of the Rabbanut, the very big Talmid Chacham. He wrote the Tshuvos Kol Mevaser, very strong Tshuvos and Halacha. The fantastic Boki. So my father said he remembers he gave a Shabbos Shuvah at Russia on the Rambam in Hilchas Shuvah. The Rambam poses a question and he doesn't seem to give an answer. The Rambam says, we believe the Mishnah in Pirkei HaKot Sofoi V'Harishus Nesuna. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah, this was Rabbi Akiva's style of drushes. He wanted to keep the audience's attention, so he would make startling statements that were surprising, And then the people would pay attention and he would explain everything. So the Medrash says he saw that the tzibur were falling asleep, so he made a statement, how come Esther was zeichet to be ruling over Sheva V'yesem Emeh Medina, because she was a descendant of Sari Imenu, lived to the age of Sheva V'yesem Emeh. What's the connection between Sara's age and Esther Amalka? So the Rambam says, similarly, this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Akiva makes two statements that contradict each other. Akol Tzafui, the Ribbono Shel knows in advance everything that's going to happen. And despite the fact that he knows in advance, there's Yediyah, there's still Bechira Chavshis. Man has the ability to choose to do right or wrong. So the Rambam asks, how is that possible? If the Ribbono Shel knew yesterday what I'm going to do today, it means that he didn't have Bechira Chavshis. Aren't these two statements contradictory? How can he have the idea and Bechira? How can Kodesh Baruch Hu know in advance? And we still have Bechira Chavshis. So the Rambam sounds like he gives up. Sounds like he doesn't know the answer. He says, Ki lo machshavoyseh machshavoseh lo darcheichem derachai niyum Hashem. We don't understand darchei Hashem. So it sounds like we don't know the answer to the question. So the Ravid on Hilchas Tshuva, when the Rambam poses the question, the Ravid is masik. He says, Lo noag hamachaber hazeh lo noag kiminig hachachamim. He put a bug in our head. He asked the kasha, how can we believe in two ikori hamuna that are contradictory? We believe hakol tzafui, the Rebbe Shalom knows in advance everything that we want to do, and still at the same time, harishus and soon we all have bechira chavshis. It's a contradiction. So he said, the Rambam put a question and a doubt in our mind, and he never answered the question. The minhag hachachamim is, if you don't have a good answer, so you don't publicize that you have a kasha and a munah. He shouldn't have brought up the issue if he doesn't know the answer. That's the Rabbit's hasog on the Rambam. So my father told me that he remembered as a teenager, Rav Shulam Broch said, no, kilam achshavasam achshavasechem is the answer. That's not that the Rambam's throwing up his hands, he says they don't know the answer. The answer is, we always think everything has to be within time and space. Even if you visualize a world where there's nothing there, there are no bookcases, no buildings, there's no furniture, there's nothing, but still the clock is ticking away and there's time and there's space. We can't visualize a world that's not within time and space. But before the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, there was no such thing as time and space. This is part of the Bria. Bereshis, that's how we interpret it. Bereshis, Nami Maimahu. Bereshis means the concept of time was part of the Bria. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is on Maila Minat Bria. The Ribbono Shel Olam was there before he created the world. So as far as the Ribbono Shel Olam is concerned, there is no past, present, future. We don't know what that means. We can't visualize a world without time and space. If you visualize an empty world with nothing, so we always visualize that there's space and there's time, and time is ticking away. So from the perspective of the Ribbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lamayla min hazman. Hazman is part of the Bria. The whole kasha, how can it be Bechira Chavshis? If there was Yediyah, how can it be that Ribbono Shel Olam knew yesterday what I'm going to do today, so how can it be that I have Bechira Chavshis? The whole kasha is based on the assumption that there's time. How can the Ribbono Shel Olam know yesterday what I didn't do yet? How does he know yesterday what I'm going to do today? The answer is, by Ribbono Shel Olam, there is no past, present, or future. Everything is the same time. And that's how many explain how Rabbi Yosef Engel has a ganze drush, and he quotes Rishonim and say like this, how can tshuva help a person did an aver? So if a person does an aver, right away has charat to tochidei dibur. So you say, he has charat right away. That's a person takes a neder, and he backs out tochidei dibur. So the neder is not binding. Person makes a kinyan, he gives a matana, then he backs out. Tochidei dibur, he backs out. So it's not chal. You can always back out tochidei dibur. But the question is, he did an aver 70 years ago. He did an aver a long time ago. He doesn't back out tochidei dibur. He backs out 70 years later. He realized what a scandalous thing it was. It was immoral. It was unethical. It wasn't right. It was a merit against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Terrible, terrible. But he's backing out 70 years later. He's not backing out tochidei dibur. So why does tshuva help to wipe off the tears? So that's what the Gemara tells us. Shuvi sol ad Hashem alakecha. Gdol tshuva. Shemagas ad kis Yaakov. The Ribbono Shel Olam is on Maila min hazman. So if we will do tshuva shleima, the tshuva shemagas ad kis Yaakov brings us so close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So just like the Ribbono Shel Olam is on Maila min hazman, so we will also be on Maila min hazman. So it's if we're having karata, having done the avera. By us, the Rebbe Shalom is a malam azman. We are not. We are a part of the bria. Everything exists within time and space. But that's the gedola tshuva. Shemagaz hakis yakav. It elevates us to the level like to be with the Rebbe Shalom. That also the malam azman. So that's what the Rabbi Shulam Roth thought, that when the Rambam says, it's not that he's throwing up his hands, he doesn't know the answer to the kasha. And the Rabbi, he put a doubt in our minds, how can you believe I'm called selfish just as soon? It's a contradiction. No, that wasn't, he doesn't know the answer. That is the answer. Human beings can't think of anything that's not within the framework of time. But the Rebbe Shalom is Ma'ala Ben Azman. The old Kasha doesn't get off the ground. That was his suggestion. See, here the Gemara is quoting on Chafal HaMez. The Gemara is quoting one of the three aliyahs on a Sheni V'Chamishi morning when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah. So you have to give three aliyahs. You're not allowed to make Kriyas HaTorah because people have to go to work. What does the Gemara say? People have to go to work. They can't sit in the shul and hear Chai Sofas. So you need three aliyahs. Each aliyah has to have a minimum of three psukim, but one of the three aliyahs has to have four psukim. Whichever one has the four, it's meshubach. So the Gemara says, where do you see that you're doing three things one after the other? And the first one is more chashuv than the second, and second is more chashuv than the third. The one that you did first is more chashuv. So the Gemara brings the institution of Trumas Halishka. Everybody, we bring Karbanos Yochid, and we bring Karbanos Tzibur. Karbanos Yochid, a person brings he did an Aver, has to bring a Karban Chata sometimes, or he wants to bring a Karban Olam. So he pays for the Karban. He's the Bala Karban. He pays for it. Korban Tzibur is Tmidim U'Masavim. Korban Tzibur has to be paid for with Machzah Shekel money. And even though by Korban Yochid, let's say my next door neighbor knows that I can't afford it, and I'm chayiv to bring a certain Korban. Let's say he knows that I was Machal Shabbos B'Shogeg, I have to bring a Chatos, and he wants to pay for it. So he goes to the Gizbar in the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, I know that my next door neighbor has to bring a Chatos. He doesn't have money to pay $1,000 for a chattas for a behema. I want to pay the money. So send him a letter that it was all taken care of. The chattas was brought because of Chilul Shabbos and Shani. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, there is such an institution of Magdish, Amarashi's Kabba Bachaber. The next door neighbor can pay for the carbon, and it's oil for me. But in Karban Sibur, you can't have such a thing. There was a period of time that the Sukkim were running the Bayesheni. Quite a period of time, the Stukim are running the show. So they permitted private families, wealthy families, they would hang up a sign in the Beis HaMikdash. All the Karbanos this year were brought by the Goldberg family, and we appreciate them. They gave $5 million to cover all the Karbanos. So the Gemara says during those years that the Stukim are running the show in the Beis HaMikdash, and they allowed a Yochid to pay for all the Karbanos. Klal Yisrael wasn't Yotze, any of the Karbanos. Karbanos have to be paid for with Machzah Shekel money, and this idea Magdash Amarasha is Kabba Bachaber, I pay for it. And it's oil for someone, that's only on the Karban Yochid, not in the Karban Tzibur. There are other differences also between the Karban Yochid and the Karban Tzibur. So everybody had to give Machzah Shekel money. If someone can't afford Machzah Shekel, so someone else can give the Machzah Shekel on his behalf. It says, no one's allowed to give more. Bezin has to ascertain every year how much does everybody have to give. So the Ravid explains in Hilchos Shkolim on the side of the Rambam. The Ravid in the Hasolos on the Rambam explains Bezin has to figure out whether this coming year is going to be a Shana Mu'uberes. It's going to have 13 months or 12 months. If it has 13 months, you're going to need more Tmina Mu'Safim. Another 30 days, another 29 days, whatever. And then another couple of Shabbosim, they're going to be Musafim and Tmidim and so on. Then they have to calculate, will the behemoths be more, how much will the behemoths cost? Will they be more expensive than they are now? Can we predict in advance that the price of behemoths is going to go up or go down? Probably not going to go down. Will it go up? Will it stay the same? Then you have to figure out how many people can you be locked on what's the world population of Jewish people? How many people can you rely on to give the money on time? A lot of people are not going to give the money till 5 years later. They had in the Beis HaMikdash, they had big pushkas, shofars. There were 13 gigantic pushkas that are called shofars, and people put donation, people put money there for various purposes. So there was one box that said Takman Charetin, Shkolim Chadoshim, for this year. For this year, the fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash was from Rosh Chodesh Nissan to Rosh Chodesh Nissan. You have to start bringing the new karbonis on Rosh Chodesh Nissan from the new Machzor Shekel money. But if you brought it from the old Machzor Shekel money, you'd be Yotzei. But the mitzvah b'shlimus, the din of the raisa. You have, in a mitzvah deraisa, you can have a lachatchila b'diyevit. The lachatchila is supposed to have tzitzis b'shlimus, tchelus b'tlovan. But the yevit, if you have the lovan without tchelus, so you're Yotzei incompletely. Lachatchila Tosfos says chalitza is a mitzvah, you need chalitza, you need rikike, she should spit on the floor, you need kriyas ha-psukim. Each one says psukim. But the yevit, if you just did the chalitza, she didn't do the rikike, she didn't do the kriyas ha-psukim, but the yevit, you're Yotzei, the mitzvah shalom b'shlimus. Lachatchila, that's how you bring a carbon chatos. So you need four zrikas on the four carbons on his back. And b'di'evit, if you did one zrika, we pass on like Basilo. If you did one zrika, you yotze b'di'evit. So you yotze mitzvah shalom b'shalom nusa. On a matter, let's have a get. The redin of l'chatchila. L'chatchila should have written a get like this. B'di'evit, if you wrote it like that, it's kosher. So Tosfos points out, all of l'chatchilas by get, that b'di'evit, the get is kosher without it, those are only made the rabbonim. A get is nishken kiyama mitzvah, that you should say there's a mitzvah bishleimus and mitzvah shalom bishleimus. So why should there be a din lachatchila b'di'evit? B'di'evit is good lachatchila. So that can only be mid the rabbanon. But Tosfos says, respect the mitzvahs deraisa, there is a concept of a mitzvah bishleimus and a mitzvah shalom bishleimus. So that's over here also. If you brought the new karbanah sibor starting from a Chodesh Nissan on with the old machzal shekel money, so b'di'evit you're yotzei, but you're not yotzei the mitzvah b'shleimusa. Every year you're supposed to start the fiscal year. The Beis HaMikdash begins for the purpose of karbanah sibor has to be from the new machzor shekel money. So the Mishnah says they did chumas halishka, just like when you mafresh chuma if you have payers. So you take out 2%. Normally you take out 2% and you give it to the kohen for chuma. If you want to be magnanimous, if you want to be very generous, you can give 10%, you can give 20%. As much as you want to give, you can give as truma. But the normal is to give 2%. So to Avir, you need truma salishka. They would take out 3 sacks of money 2 weeks before Sukkos, before Rosh Hashanah. And first they would take out Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So, 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, that's called Befros HaPes. 2 weeks before Pesach, and they would leave behind. There would be Shiori Halishka, money left behind. Just like when you mafish Truma, you can't declare, I declare everything as Truma. You have to, Truma has to be Reishit. Reishit is the Gonach HaDirosh HaRitzah. Reishit implies Shiori HaNikor, you have to leave something over. You can make, if you want, you can make 2% truma, you can make 25%, you can make 99% truma. You can't make 100% truma, make 100%. The truma was not matter anything. Truma has to be matter something. So you can make 99% truma, and 1% will be chulam misukan. So when you take the money from the lishka, from the pushke, taklan charetin, to use it for this year, so 2 weeks before Isa Pesach, 2 weeks before Pesach is Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So it takes 3 sacks of money, and they would mark it down. This is Aleph, this is Beis, this is Gimel. We will mafresh Truma first, then Aleph, then Beis, and then Gimel. Then they would purchase the Karbanah Sibor and Rosh Chodesh from Aleph. And when they ran out of money from Aleph, they would use from Beis. When they ran out of money from Beis, they would use from Gimel. Then 2 weeks before, from Pesach till Sukkot, Pesach till Shavuos is only 7 weeks. So 2 weeks before Shavuos, that's called Befrois Atar. Befrois means a half a month. Like a prusa, a slice of challah. So 2 weeks before Shavuos, the kohen would take again 3 sacks, aleph, beis, gimel, and then they would use them in order. First, they would buy karbanos from the sack that had aleph. It's called truma. And they leave up arab shereha nikor. And then 2 weeks before Sukkot, that would be the longest stretch from Sukkot till Pesach, because the full 6 months, and they had to have enough in the 3 sacks. to purchase all the Karbanos Tzibur in between. So the Gemara says they would label the sacks each time, the three times, 2 weeks before Pesach, 2 weeks before Shavuos, 2 weeks before Sukkot. Each time they would do Trumas Alishka, that from the and not take all of it. It's a din of HaFrashas Truma, take part, and that's called Reishis, and they left Shiari Halishka. And we're discussing, what do you do with the Shiari Halishka? What do they do with that? Then the three sacks of money that they took out, that they're going to use it for 7 weeks. They don't need three sacks of money for 7 weeks, so there's going to be a lot of money left over. So that's called Moiser Truma Halishka. What's left over? What's left over in the big shofar, the big pushkin, the Beis HaMikdash? That's called Shiari Halishka. And then what's left over from the Machza Shekel that they took from the three sacks of money, that's Moisa Trumas Halishka. So the Mishnah is Mishkon, tell us. The Gemara is in the last parak in Ksuvis talk. What did they do with all that leftover money? That way more money that they needed. So the Gemara says that they used it to pay Malamdim, how to have Rabbanim, to teach the Kohanim how to have to be Makriv their Karbanim. So they had to pay them a salary. How do they have time to teach? They have to make a living. So they didn't make a living, they were malamdim. So you're not allowed to take money for teaching Torah, but they had no choice. So they had to pay them. So how can they take hekdesh to get money? That's what Gemara discusses. How can they take hekdesh to get money? It's a din me'ila. So the Gemara discusses, how come there's no din me'ila? So the Gemara quotes that line in the Mishnah that they put labels on the three sacks each time. Before Pesach, 2 weeks before Shavuos, 2 weeks before Sukkot, each of the three times when they took the Shalosh Prakim, three times a year, they did Trumas Halishka, and they put Aleph Beis Gimel. So the other Tana disagrees. They say they didn't write Aleph Beis Gimel. They wrote Alpha, Beta, Gamla. They wrote Greek letters. It's a Machlokes HaTanoim what they wrote. So I remember I once saw, there was once a family simcha by one of my brothers-in-law. My brother-in-law passed away already a year ago, 2 years ago. So he was a big chassid of the Ozhe Rabbe, who was a real chassidish Rebbe, a real Rebbe. I remember we were married for a while, we didn't have any children, so we decided to go to Eretz Yisrael, sometimes in the Schus, because Avayim Chutz Lord's garden, because if they were Chutz Lord, you don't have children. But the Shalom told Avraham Avinu, Lech Lochom Me'artzucha, Ve'ezcha L'gay Godel. If you go to Eretz Yisrael, you'll have children. If you stay in Chutz Lord, you're not going to have children. So we decided we're going to go visit Eretz Yisrael. That was the first time we went to Eretz Yisrael. And then we were blessed with children after that. So my brother-in-law's sister, we should go visit the Ozhe Rava Rebbe. He lived in Tel Aviv. So we visited him. And he sort of said, there's no problem. My wife is pregnant already. We didn't know that. He knew what no one knew. Then when we came back to America, at the end of the summer, my wife went to the doctor and said, yeah, she was pregnant. She didn't know it. She still didn't know it after the brother, after the summer was over. So this Ozhe Rava Rebbe has Svarim, I think it's called Eish Dos, the Roshes that he gave, Api Chassidus, Api Kabbalah, and Parshias. Then he has a collection of letters. So he has, I remember we were at a family simcha by my brother, I think it was a bar mitzvah, one of his sons, his wonderful sons, all B'nai Torah. So I was sitting next to the Svarim Shrank. So my brother-in-law had the Sefer collection of letters by the Ozhe Rava Rebbe. So one of the letters, someone sent them a Sefer, Divrei Torah, in the Sefer. And the pages had numbers, Roman numerals, on the bottom of the page. So the Ozhe Rava Rebbe had a taina. Why did you put Goyish numbers? You should have put Aleph Beis Gimel. Because that's the machlokes in the Mishnah. How did they label the three sacks? So the Gemara quotes the Tana in the Mishnah Shkolim that they labeled Aleph Beis Gimel. The next Tana says they wrote Alpha Beta Gamla. They wrote Greek letters, Greek alphabet. But the Ozhe Rabbi says we don't paskin like that. We paskin that's more correct that you should write Aleph Beis Gimel. So he said when you put out a sefer, he recommends you shouldn't use Roman numerals on the bottom of the page like everybody does. 1, 2, 3. Right, Aleph Beis Gimel, he quotes this. So the Gemara says we have a precedent from the taking the three sacks of Machza Shekel money that indicate that the first sack that you labeled Aleph, you should go ahead to you that money. So if you have three aliyahs and Sheila Hamish, one of them has to have four psukim, so the best way would be to give the first aliyah should be the first psukim. Living Mar said, where is there a source that the middle aliyah is most choshev? Mar said, you see from the menorah that the three karim on the right, three on the left, all lean towards the center, and the center one, according to different opinions, the center one is the Emaroli. Different opinions in the Tanakh, which one is considered an Emaroli? So that seems to indicate that the middle one, the middle thing is the most important. And Imar quotes a source that the last one is the most important. Malvar Kodesh or Lomar Reed? Yeah. The top Taisvis on the Amud, on Chafalatam Beis, top Taisvis Tanakh. Taisvis refers you to a Gemara in Bo. Asra in Menachos, the Gemara says, Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah, the last parsha in the Chumash in Bezai Sabrocha, has the obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu. Oyam Shal Moshe Eved Hashem is the eighth pasuk before the end of Bezai Sabrocha. So that's a machlokes Tanaim. Who wrote that? Efshe Moshe Chai, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, Oyam Shal Moshe, it's not true. He wrote it. Does it make sense? It must be that Yeshua ben Nun wrote that. And that's what it says in Sefer Yeshua, that Yeshua ben Nun wrote something. It doesn't say clearly what he wrote. So one time it says he wrote the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah. The Rebbe Shalom told him to add on to the end of the Chumash about the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's not the accepted opinion. We assume, like the other Tana, that the Rebbe Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu to write it before he died. He wrote his own obituary. That's what we assume. So then the Gemara says we have a din regarding Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah. It's different from the rest of Kriyas HaTorah. When you learn the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah, Yochid Kari Yosem. What does it mean, Yochid Kari Yosem? So the Rishonim have different interpretations. Some Rishonim say, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, some Rishonim say the Yochid means the Yochid HaMiyuchad, the biggest Tamachachim in the Shul, gets the last Aliyah. The Rabbi is a Mordas, so he gets the last Aliyah. Why? So the Pashto says, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, and Yeshua ben Nun took over, and everybody followed Yeshua ben Nun like they followed Moshe Rabbeinu. A lot of people have the attitude now in the OU, the RCA, Yeshiva University. Rabbi Soloveitchik passed away. There's no one task on the Shadas to do, so everybody can do whatever they want. There's no one task on it. There are people who, Yeshua ben Nun is still alive. There are people alive who know how to pass on the Shadas. So we give the last aliyah to the Yochid Kari Yosem, the Rabbi Mordas, we give him Chasim Torah. Not because it's a Bekavah Din. No, we want to say, just like when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, they listened to Yeshua ben Nun. So too, the Rabbi Nashul is replacing Yeshua ben Nun, replacing Moshe Rabbeinu, going to listen to the Rabbi. So that's one pshat. That's one pshat. Yachid Kari Yosem. Another pshat, Yachid Kari Yosem, is you don't make any hoysofis. One, it's a lot of eight psukim from Yom HaShemesh until the end. Eight psukim, you can really break it up into two different aliyahs. Eight psukim give four and four. So that's the other pshat. You don't make any hosafas there. One person learns everything. Then there's another pshat. The Rambam has a funny pshat. Yochid Kari Yosem. You don't need a minyan. The Kriyas HaTorah usually need a minyan. The Mishnah says it's a dovish of Bikdusha. So that's why it's coming later in this parak. I think I'm. Of Gimel and Beis. Yeah, it says a list of other things that you need in Minyan. Kriyas HaTorah is a Dovish of Bikdusha. So the Kriyas HaTorah describing the death of Moshe Rabbeinu is Vishkin Dovish of Bikdusha. You don't need a Minyan. A surprising pshat. And then the fourth pshat is the one that Taisis quotes, that usually we have a Balkari lading, and you have the Oil HaTorah lanes along with the Balkari. You have two people lading. But the last aliyah, you should not have two people laning. Whoever gets the aliyah should lane. You should give the aliyah to someone who's able to lane on his own. The Taisus is not happy with that pshat. How can that be the Pirish Amilus and the Gemara, this institution that we have a Balkari laning and the Oil Avatar lanes along with him, this began in the days of the Gaonim. It didn't exist in the days of the Gemara. In the days of the Gemara, whoever got an aliyah, days of the Tanan, days of the Amaran, whoever got an aliyah had a lane the aliyah. In days of the Gaonim, they saw that they're killing the Ivrin, they're killing the Trop, and they don't know how to lane. So, So you'll let the people lain if they know how to lain. If they don't know how to lain, halabakare. So kadesh lo levayesh is nisheni yadeya. So we don't allow anybody to lain on their own. Everybody has to have a bakari lain, but you should lain along with him. So Taisa said, but that was a later institution. That the institution of a bakari with the other latar laining along didn't exist in the days of Gemara. That was invented in the days of Gemara. How can you say that that's pshat yochid kari oisam, that the last aliyah, the last eight psukin, are different from the rest of the Torah, that you don't have the institution of the Balkari. In the days of Gemara, there was no Balkari. The whole thing is not correct. So the Gemara there in Bava Basra and in Menachot, the Gemara raises a question. This idea, Yochid Kari Yosam, only makes sense if you hold like the Tana that Yeshua ben Nun wrote it. But if you hold that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, that's the way we usually assume. The Rama writes, we assume Moshe Rabbeinu wrote everything. Machlekes Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah, Machlekes HaTanoim. When the Pasuk says in Sefer Yeshua, Yeshua ben Nun wrote something, so the other Tana says, no, Yeshua ben Nun wrote Sefer Yeshua. He didn't write anything. Everything in the Chumash was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara raised a question, Yochid Kari Yosam only makes sense if all that is written by Yeshua ben Nun. Why? So it's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, according to the Rambam, Yochid Kari Yosam means it is not a Dovish of Kedusha. You don't need a minion. You can lane with brachas without a minyan. So according to the Rambam, the Gemara meant like this: whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNevi'im, his level of Nevuah is much higher than that of the other Nevi'im. So the Gemara says the whole Chumash is treated as a Dovish Bigdush because Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon HaNevi'im. But if the last eight psukim are not written by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's written by Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun was a lower level of a Navi. So if Yehuda was written by Yeshua, then I understand why it's not a Dovish and Bikdusha, why Yochid Kari Yosam, we don't need a minyan. But if you all like the opinion that we accept that everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, then why is it on a lower level? He was the Adon HaNavi when he wrote the last eight Psukim Mosam. According to the Rambam, we understand what the Gemara thought Yochid Kari Yosam should have to do with who wrote it. It was written Yeshua. We understand why it's not a Dovish HaBikdusha, but you don't need a minyan. But if you say Yochid Kari Yosam, you don't make quite sophis. But you say Yochid Kari Yosam, Yochid HaBiyuchid, you give the Aliyah to the biggest Tamachach, Nemar Da'asra and the Shul. Why? We want to show that just like after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, they followed Yeshua ben Nun, so we followed the local Orthodox rabbi. So what does it have to do whether it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, written by Yeshua ben Nun? Whoever wrote it should be the same din. And not making her sophist. Why can't you make her sophist? Whether it was written by Moshe or Yeshua, why can't you make her sophist? That's questionable. Why did Gemara think? Gemara comes to Maskana, it doesn't matter. Even if you all like the Tana that everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, including his own obituary, but still, it was written differently from the rest of the Chumash. It was written differently. So that's why it has a different din. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that Gemara is Talias. The Gemara thought that the din, that the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah are different from the rest of the Psukim, that Yochid Kari Yosam should have to do with who wrote it. If it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, then it should be a Dovish B'Kedusha. If it was not written by Moshe Rabbeinu, then you understand it's not. It was written by someone not the Adon HaNevi'im, so maybe it's not the Dovish B'Kedusha. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here. In the beginning of Parshas Vayera, this Shabbos is Parshas Vayera. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Vayera Elav Hashem, and the Rebbe Shlom didn't tell him anything. Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu. Usually Hashem appears and he gives a nevuah. If he doesn't say any nevuah, so what did the Rebbe Shlom appear for? The Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Levakir Sachoyla, he had just done the Bris Milah, the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu was an old man when he did the Bris Milah. He was how old? 84 or something. He was very old, in his 80s. And the Rebbe Shlom came. So sometimes, if the Shechina comes, sometimes I go visit someone to be a Menachem Avol. Sometimes you're Menachem Avol, you don't have to say a word. You just show friendship and companionship. You show that you want to give the person support, even if you don't say anything. Just the fact that you're there. So the Shechina came to sit with Moshe, with Avraham Avinu, to be mevakel sachayla, even though there was no nevuah, just to be mevakel chayla. So the pasuk says, Avraham Avinu sees three malachim, in human form, and he says, "Vayomar alav dalav nu yudim no mitzvos lechemenech al dasav be'alav dech." Who was he talking to? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Shavuos, the end of Masechet Shavuos, Daf Lamed Hey. It says here that there's a machlokes hatanaim when the sefer writes a sefer Torah, and he writes alav dalav nu yud. Does he have a mind to be mekadeshed? Alav dalav nu yud. One of the Zayin Shem Sheinim Chokim. The Gemara there in Shavuos says there are seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're not allowed to erase. Lo sasen kem Hashem Elokechem. To destroy. It says when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you have to destroy Mizbechei Hashem Titot Matzei Rosem Tishaber Asher Rem Tisim from Reish Sila Lehem Kadeon Yibadim Tameshmam and Amakam Hu Lo sasen kem Hashem Elokechem. So whenever someone erases Shem Hashem, you're not allowed to do that. Lassan HaSakakein, he says right after the Yibarat HaMashmam. So you're not allowed to erase Shem Hashem. So according to one Tana, Alav Dalad Nud Yud is one of the Zayin Shem Hashem Nimchokim here. And Avraham Avinu is talking to the Shekhinah. He tells the Rabbanu Shalom, I have to greet the guests. Please stay here. I'm going to be mafsik, not conversation. You're sitting and holding my hand. And keeping me company, I want to greet the guests, then I'll come back. After I finish with the guests, I'll come back. So that's, according to that opinion, the Sefer, when he writes, Alav Dalon Yud, have in mind to be Mekadosh, that it should be Hashem Kodesh. And we learn out from here, Gedola, because Avraham Avinu is being Mekabo Pnei Hashchinah, the Shechinah came to sit with him. No conversation, just to keep him company. And then he asked the Rabbanu Shalom, please wait here. I have to take care of the guests. Then Rashi, because the other opinion, no, it's Loshen Chol. And when the Sefer writes, he's not supposed to have a mind to be Mekadosh. And he spoke to there were three Malachim. He spoke to the leader of the three. And he said, sir, please don't leave. I'd like to give you a meal. Please stop by me. Visit by me. So that's the machlokes hatanaim. Mishael halacha lemaisa. When you write a sefer Torah, how do we paskin whether alav dalav nun yud is loshen kodesh or loshen chol? So remember, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that this was a test for Avraham Avinu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu had made a hashuas hashchina to be merakas achela, and then he wanted to see, will Avraham Avinu, when the guests come, will he be mafsik the kabbalas bnei hashchina to greet the guests, or will he stay with the Rabbanu Shalom and ignore the guests? They looked like human beings. And Avraham Avinu passed the test. He was mafsik the kabbalas bnei hashchina in order to greet the guests. And he passed the test. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. We have a din. When you say Kriya Shema, it says, V'dibarta bam. So the Gemara says, V'dibarta bam v'loy betfilo. What does that mean, V'dibarta bam v'loy betfilo? So the Gemara Yuma, daf your test. So Tosfos interprets Rashi has a different shot. Rav once gave a whole yartzeit Rosh on the Rashi, a whole arichas. But Tosfos learns, V'dibarta bam. It's a little humorous. V'dibarta bam means you're supposed to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. It's a mitzvah to be mafsik, to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. What was it? When? What are you talking? No. Someone comes into shul and is going to feel hurt. He's going to feel insulted. Why didn't he say good Shabbos? He came in pretty late. He came in the middle of Kriya Shema already. So the din is, you're mafsikim, pnei akovim, pnei ayira. Depends who it is. So sometimes you're mechuyev to be mafsik. Sometimes ben aprokim, sometimes be'emtza perik. That's a machlokes hatanaim about the details. But that din, that you're mafsik from the kovet abrius in the middle of Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina, the middle of Kriya Shema's Kabbalah's Amachu Shamayim, is based on this pasuk. And then the Gemara says, V'dibarto bam, v'loi betfila. In the middle of Shema Nesri, you're not allowed to greet someone who walked in. Then the din is, we ignore everything. We're just supposed to talk to the Baruch Shalom. The middle of Kriya Shema, so then you're supposed to be sometimes Bem Tzaper, sometimes Ben Aprokim. You have to be mafsik to greet the human beings when they cover abrius. So we learned it from Avraham Avinu. How did Avraham Avinu know they did? That's what the later, the Gedolim is. How did Avraham Avinu know that did? We learned from the fact that the Chumash writes this story. He asks the Shechina, please stay here, I want to take care of the guests. But how did he know that din? So what did the Litvish Gedolim explain? That the Rambam in Hilchus, he said, our Torah speaks about the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu was Adon HaNavim. The other Navim were on a lower level. That's one of the Ikori HaMunah. We believe in the Vuhet. We believe Moshe Rabbeinu was Adon HaNavim. So the Rambam gives the four differences between the Vuhet Moshe Rabbeinu and that of Shai Navim. So one of the differences is Moshe Rabbeinu was Kedabri Yishal Re'er. He didn't faint when he got a Nevuah. He was like he talked to another human being. Kedabri Yishal Re'er. Pel, pel, dababo. Carry on a conversation. The other Nevim would collapse. No fail, gluya, not. The other Nevim would collapse, they would become unconscious. So when the parsha begins, Vayere Elei Vashem, there was Ashras Ashchina, Samashi. So Avram Avinu didn't see what's happening at all. He was totally unconscious. Until the Malachim come, then how did he see them? If he's not full of glory in him, if he's unconscious, he shouldn't have been able to notice. What are you saying on the Bayar? How did he see that they were Malachim? So it must be the Rebbeinu Shel Olam suspended the Gilui Shechina that he should be able to see them. So he understood when he had a Gilui Shechina, when he had Ashras Hashchina, he wouldn't see anything that's happening. He wasn't on a Madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu. Pel, pel, dabar bo. Kiish ha-medabar el-chaim. He regained his consciousness enough to realize that there were guests there. He understood that now he's supposed to be mafsik d'ashvas ha-shechina in order to greet the guests. But that this was a test to see if he's going to know how important it is. Human beings have tzelem alekim. You have to be mafsik in the middle of the Hashras Hashchina to greet the human beings and have Tzelem Alekim. Middle of Shemana Esri, you're not mafsing. But in the middle of the Kriya Shema, that's with Dibar Tabam Eloi B'Tfilo. With Dibar Tabam is the Chiyuv to be mafsing when they cover Abrius. And Avraham Avinu passed the test. He understood the fact that he regained his consciousness enough to realize that there were guests who came. So then he understood that he has to greet the guests. That's what they quote from one of the Litvish Gedolim. Okay, the next week we will try to continue in the Gemara.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Shkoyach, thank you.
Very good.
Okay. Good night, thank you, Yoshikov.